Let's dig into the Word of God this morning. This morning we are starting a new series called The Blessed Life. Now, before we get started, I have to be honest with you that as a pastor, one of the things that I dread more than anything else is preaching on giving. I absolutely dread it. It makes me feel awkward, uncomfortable, and because of that, I have preached on giving one time in the last almost 3 years as your pastor, just being very vulnerable. I say that to say that it's interesting that I despise preaching on this topic of giving so much because I loved when my pastor preached on giving at church growing up. I absolutely loved it. Growing up, our family, we didn't have a lot of money. And I was always a little insecure in dealing with finances and giving because I wanted to be a generous person. Does anybody want to be a generous person? I wanted to be a generous person, but I also wanted to live a great life. I wanted to be generous, but I didn't know how. So when my pastor preached about giving, I just soaked it up like crazy. Like, hey, what does the Bible say about giving and generosity and all of these things? But I tell you this to say that we all have different experiences, especially when it comes to church and talking about money. My dad growing up, I think this is part of why I don't like talking about giving, is because my dad would always say, every time I go to a new church, the first thing that the pastor's preaching on that Sunday is about giving and about tithing and giving your money and all these things, every single time. Anybody ever heard that before from somebody? Maybe you've said that before. I just want you to know we're not that type of church. Okay, if this is your first time here, you just chose the perfect Sunday to come because this is the day that we are starting this in 3 years. So, some of you have seen talking about giving done poorly, where it makes it seems like the only thing the church ever talks about is how you need to give. But like I said, we're not that type of church. I'm not that type of pastor. But still, some of you hopefully may be thinking, man, Pastor Brandon, it's about time that you preached on giving because I'm really confused in my finances right now. Or maybe you're thinking, I want to be a generous person, but I'm not entirely sure how to get there and how to go about it. So if that's you, I truly believe that your life is about to be very blessed as we talk about giving in a biblical way throughout these next 4 weeks. It's also important for you to know before we jump in that this series is not something that I came up with completely on my own. Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church in Houston, Texas, he wrote a book called The Blessed Life and has a lot of these principles in it, does an incredible job teaching about what the Bible actually has to say about being a generous person. So we're going to be kind of following some of the things that he has talked about. And one of the things that he says is this: there is truth in this book, in the Word of God, that will truly change your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your family, it will change your health, it will change your relationships, and it will change your job. This is crucial here. We're talking about living a blessed life, not having a blessed pocketbook. Living a blessed life. So as we jump into this series, The Blessed Life, I hope your life truly gets blessed. Now, let's jump into it. The title of this message is It's All About the Heart. We're going to be jumping around to a couple of places. If you have the app, all of the notes and everything are in there. You can scan the QR code. You can follow along with the worship guide. Take your own notes on the back. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6, but we're going to spend most of our time in Deuteronomy chapter 15. So those are the places we're going to be. Matthew chapter 7, Luke 6, Deuteronomy 15. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me ask you a question. Is the word money mentioned anywhere in this scripture? No, not at all. It's not mentioned there. It says, judge not, and you will not be judged, and the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So, audience participation. Say, judge not, that you be not judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right, Remember that. It's important. Jump with me real quick to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 is the what we call parallel passage to what Matthew just said in chapter 7. He says this in verse 37, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged." And he ends this passage, "For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you," right? Luke just adds a little bit more in the middle. And this is what he says, "Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, into your lap." I hate that word. Anyway, let me ask you a question. Does the word money mention anywhere in this scripture? It's not. See, these two passages are not about money, but when we think about these passages of scripture, we immediately try to apply it to our money. These passages are not about money, but here's what they are about. They're about giving. And giving is not about money. Giving is not about money. Money is certainly a part of giving, but giving is not about money. What Matthew and Luke are trying to say, what Jesus is teaching us when he says these words, is that giving is all about the heart. It's about the heart. It's not about how many resources you have. It's not about what you do and what you don't. It's about your heart. It's not about material blessings. You see, when we talk about giving, we talk about things about giving judgment and how judgment is returned to you. We talk about not giving condemnation, but what you do give is forgiveness. You give other things, and that will be given back to you. You see, you can't talk about giving without talking about God. You can't talk about giving without talking about the grace of God and how he loved the world so much he gave his one and only son. You can't talk about a healthy marriage without talking about giving yourself fully to your spouse in integrity and honesty and servitude. You can't talk about forgiving your neighbor without talking about giving, because the word giving is literally in the word forgiveness. See what I'm saying? Giving is not just about money. It's about your heart. Now, you also can't talk about money and finances without talking about giving, because God does care about your money. Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, when we read this passage of scripture, we have to understand that doesn't mean that God needs your money, right? It means that God understands how giving works, that it's all about your heart. Where your treasure is, where your time is, where your resources, where your finances are, that's where your heart also is. If you're quick to give judgment, that means you're a judgy person, and guess what? That's probably going to get returned back to you. That's what he says in Luke chapter 6. If you're quick to give condemnation, that's what's going to get back to you. That's where your focus is at. Giving is all about your heart, about your attitude, not your pocketbook. And the things that you give your time, attention, and resources to, they're the things that you treasure. So is God after your money? Has anybody asked you that question before? I would say yes. God is after your money because God is after your heart. God is after your money the same way that God is after your judging heart. He's after your money the same way that he's after you getting rid of the condemnation in your life. God is after your heart the same way he is after your love and all of your passions and your gifts and your talents, because God wants everything to do with your life. He wants to be a part of every aspect of your life, not just parts of it. Think about this. God is after your money because he's after your heart, and your heart follows your treasure. That's what Jesus says. So think about it this way. When you put your money in the stock market, all of a sudden, what do? You're checking stocks every single day, right? You're looking to see, man, is the market up? Is the market down? What do I need to do? Do I need to bail out? Do I need to put more in? All of a sudden, it consumes your thoughts, because that's where you put your money. Growing up when I was in high school, I had a job working at McDonald's. Loved it. It was great. The only thing I thought about was how much money do I have to buy some chicken McNuggets. That's what I thought about. But as soon as I grew up and I got a big boy job, there's this thing called retirement and an IRA. And I found myself the first couple of years starting working, man, how much money do I have in my retirement account? How much do I have in my IRA? Because where you put your money is where your thoughts and your attitude and your energy is put. It's the same thing with other things. When you give to the kingdom of God, all of a sudden you will find yourself thinking more about God and his church and the people around you. It's impossible not to. When you give to the Lord, it's impossible to not think about, man, how are people down the road going to be affected by the gospel? Man, how are these things that the church is doing with doing this youth center and Wednesday night Bible studies with meals and all this stuff, how is it going to bring people closer to Jesus? You can't stop thinking about God and his church and the people around you. See, when you give grace, you'll find yourself experiencing more grace. When you offer forgiveness, you will find that less people are mad at you and you are forgiven, because giving is all about the heart. It's about your heart. So how do we develop a heart of giving? How do we develop this heart of generosity to be the generous person that we want to be and God wants us to be? Well, God gives us four things to do to develop a heart of generosity in Deuteronomy chapter 15. It says this in verse 7. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let me just stop right there for a second. Who is the first person giving something in this scripture? The Lord. The Lord is giving the land to the Israelites. And then he says this: do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. God is reminding the Israelites that giving is a matter of the heart, that God first gave to them, so now they need to be generous and give to others. He's saying it's all about the heart. And the first thing that you need to do to develop this heart of generosity is to deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. Verse 9 goes on to this. He says, do not be mean-spirited or wicked and refuse someone a loan, because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. For if you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. See, God calls selfishness mean-spirited or wicked. In the Old Testament, we are seeing right here in verse 9, God set up a beautiful system of generosity for the Israelites. It is absolutely wonderful. And what happens, what was supposed to happen in Israel, was every 7 years, there was a year of canceling debts. Does anybody want to reenact this? Let's make it happen. Where if you ask somebody for a loan, maybe to start a business, or you leased their field, right? So you could grow crops or whatever it was. In 7 years, if you still owed that person money, that debt was completely canceled. It was completely forgiven. And you started over. And then you would do that for 7 times. So 7 times 7, that's 49 years. And then on the 50th year is what we call the year of Jubilee. And on the year of Jubilee, all debts were canceled again. But also, if you were a slave, you were set free every 50 years. If you were in prison, you were set free. If you had sold land, that land was given back to you. It was a fresh reset. And during the year of Jubilee, you did not work for the entire year. You just rested and enjoyed the life that God had blessed you with. This is what he's talking about in verse 9. And what he's saying is, he says, don't be mean-spirited, don't be selfish, don't be wicked when you think, oh man, the year of canceling debts is in 6 months, and this person just asked me for a loan, and I know they can't pay this back in 6 months, so I don't know if I really want to be generous and give them this loan. He says, don't even let that be a thought in your mind. Because what did he say? This is the land that I gave you. This wasn't your land to begin with. I gave you this land. Be generous. So if you want to have a heart of generosity, deal with a selfish heart. God is saying, don't refuse to be generous. The point of giving is not to give so you can get. It's to give so you can bless. This is what God is trying to get across. He's saying you don't give so you can get that interest rate in return, or you can get part of those crops from the land that you sold. You give so you can bless somebody else because I blessed you so much. This is one of the struggles that I personally have with some movements and talking about how, man, if you give to God, he will bless you and your finances are going to blossom and they're going to be great and you're going to get all of this stuff in return. Listen, there are spiritual principles of reaping and sowing. We've talked about this, that yes, what you put your resources in, you get out, right? All of you farmers, if you plant corn, you don't go out thinking, man, I wonder if it's going to turn into carrots this year, right? You plant corn, you sow corn in return. So if you plant finances, you get finances. But listen, the getting is a byproduct of the blessing that God wants you to have. It's not the focus. The focus is let me bless other people because God, you have blessed me so much. So if you want to deal with a selfish heart, start giving. Start giving. Have you ever asked yourself why God created giving? Is it because he needs your money? Is it because the light bill in heaven is too extravagant and he's running out of gold for the street so he needs some more resources? No, not at all. Here's why God created giving. God created giving for your sake, not for his. God created giving to give you an opportunity to deal with the selfishness and the greed in your heart. Because giving more than any other thing a believer does works selfishness and greed out of your heart. If you struggle with selfishness, and we all do, there are times where I'm just like, man, I would rather deal with this and have this than give something to somebody else. If you struggle with selfishness, start giving. And when you give, you will find that it is much more difficult to think about yourself when you give. I say all of this to say that this is true except for one place for men. Women, you know this is probably true. Men do not share food. We are very selfish with our food. My wife and I, we deal with this all the time. We'll go through McDonald's. I'll ask her if she wants something. She says no. Then that's great. And then I get chicken nuggets. And then she's like, hey, can I have one of those? No, you cannot. I ordered 6 because I wanted 6. I ordered 10 because I wanted 10. I ordered 20 because I might want 20. You cannot have them. So this works everywhere except for food. But deal with a selfish heart. It's much more difficult to be selfish when you give. The second thing that we do to develop a heart of generosity is we deal with a grieving heart. We deal with a selfish heart, but we deal with a grieving heart. Verse 10 says this. It says, give generously to the poor, and your heart should not be grieved, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Here's an important distinction here. You see, selfishness attacks us before we give. Before we give something, we think, man, I could really use this. Man, it would be nice if I kept it. Man, I've been saving up for a vacation to take my family on, or man, I really want that new truck or whatever it is. It deals with us before we give. But grief attacks us after we give. Selfishness attacks before, grief attacks after we give. Has anybody ever been there before? Where you have given something and then immediately you're just like, oh man, why did I do that? Kinsey and I, our first year of marriage, we had been married for about 9 months and we were filing taxes together for the first time. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We were already living penny to penny paycheck to paycheck, and we found out that for us at the time, we were getting a pretty sizable tax return. Looking back now, we're like, man, that was not a big tax return. But at the time, being newlyweds, never filing taxes together, it was a pretty big tax return. And we started talking about all the things that we could do with that money. We could take a weekend getaway. We could put a down payment on a car, go on a shopping spree for new clothes, all of these things that we could do with this tax return. And then we're sitting in church one Sunday. We hear our pastor share about a need in the church. And both of us really felt like the Lord wanted us to give $1,000 to this need. For us, that was a ton of money. That's still, $1,000 is a ton of money. It was a lot. And so we're sitting there and we're talking about this and we're like, yeah, we really feel like God wants us to give that $1,000. But we also really wanted to do something fun together. But we knew that God was dealing with our selfish hearts. And so we did. We gave the $1,000. And later that week, as I am driving to work, two of our tires completely are shot. There's metal sticking out of them and all of these things, and it's they're not holding air and all this stuff. And we needed $800 to get new tires. And immediately, I felt so guilty for giving that $1,000. Guilty is not the right word. I was grieved. I was like, man, why did we have to give that money? We could have used it. It could have helped us so much. We've all been there. We have grieved when we have given money. I just had this random thought. I'm sitting here and preaching this, and I just realized that I don't have any cash for lunch after church. I know that's a random thing, but I have no cash at Well, looky there. That is wonderful. Thank you, Jimmy. Man, I should ask that more often. $40, hey. That'll go a long way at the Sleepy Coyote. $40 right here. You know, Jimmy, thank you so much for that cash. You see, Jimmy could have been very selfish, and he could have kept that money, but he different. And I don't know if you can see Jimmy, but does Jimmy look grieved right now for giving me $40? Yeah, yes, he might be. He might be. But I would say he's not grieved. You say, well, why is he not grieved? Let me tell you why. Here's why Jimmy's not grieved, because he gave me $40. Because right before church, I gave him $40 and told him to give it back to me. I said, hey, here's $40 when I ask, can you come and give me this money? Here's why we grieve. We grieve when we give money because we think it's ours in the first place. We think it's ours to do with what we want. That money wasn't Jimmy's, so it didn't affect him at all when he was asked to give it. You see, Scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. So when the Lord asks us to give, don't let it grieve your heart. It wasn't yours to begin with. Be like, yeah, Lord, you'll give me more. It's a blessed life. Look at what he says. He says, don't be grieved, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Don't be grieved, because God will bless you more than you ever thought possible. He will take care of you. The reason why we grieve is because we think it was ours to begin with. So deal with the grieving heart. The third thing that we do to develop a heart of generosity is to develop a generous heart. Verse 14 says this, give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. What is he talking about? He's saying when somebody comes into your home and then you're releasing them, whether it's a slave or it's a worker or whatever, give them a generous farewell gift. You see, God wants us to be generous. And here's something that we have to catch here. When we were born, each and every one of us were born selfish. We were born sinful. We were born selfish, all about ourselves. But when we were born again, we were born generous. We were born selfish, but we are born again generous. You take my wonderful son, Cordell, for a perfect example. We're not having to teach him how he can, you know, keep some money for himself because he's too generous. It's, hey, no, share. This morning, Mabel was playing with a toy during worship practice, and he saw it, and he just freaks out, runs up to her and says, mine, 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 mine. No, you can share. She's playing with this. It's totally okay. Yes, it's your toy, but you can share with her. We are born selfish. We don't have to teach selfishness. But when you're born again, you are born generous. We just have to renew our minds. To go back to Luke chapter 6, the verses just before the ones we read at the beginning, they talk about giving to everyone who asks of you. Everyone who asks of you. This is a tough one, especially for this city boy who grew up in a town where, man, there's people on every single corner asking for money. Anybody ever been there? Where it's like, man, you got people just asking you. They know that you're a Christian and they try to take advantage. But Jesus says, everyone that asks of you, you give to them. Give generously because God has been generous to you. So how much more should we show the love of Christ by us giving what we have to others? The only way to continue to grow a generous heart is by simply being generous, to start doing it. Like I said, I don't have to teach Cordell how to be selfish. He knows what's his and what isn't. Now, it's our job as parents to remind him as he gets older how much God has been generous to us. So we want to be generous as he is generous. We want to teach him that while we are still selfish sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was the most generous person to ever live, that he was willing to give up his life for your eternity. And in return, he asks us to be reborn in his image as generous believers, just as he is generous. So we develop a generous heart. And the last thing we do is we develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Verse 15 says in Deuteronomy, remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I am giving you this command. I want to focus on something for a second. The very end of this entire passage where he is telling the Israelites how to have a heart of generosity. The very end, he says, I am giving you this command. I am commanding you to be generous. Well, what gives God the authority to tell me how to be generous? Well, one, we just saw it's his to begin with, right? So we don't need to be selfish. We don't need to grieve when we give it up because it's already his. But look, remember that you were once slaves, but God redeemed you. If you develop a grateful heart, you will want to give as much as you possibly can because you remember the life of slavery and bondage to sin that you were in before Jesus. And you are so grateful of the life that Jesus pulled you out of. I am so grateful that God pulled me out of a life and a family that adultery and alcoholism was prevalent all over the place. My grandfather has been married 4 different times. He's had affairs on numerous occasions. My dad had multiple affairs on my mother, been married 3 different times. And I sit here and I am so grateful that Jesus saved me from that kind of life. That I know what it's like to have a wife who is so generous with her love and her honesty and her integrity. I'm so grateful to a Lord that I know can be the Father who is always there for me when I need him at a moment's notice. We develop a grateful heart. We remind ourselves that we were slaves to sin, but God redeemed me. He gave generously to me. Are you grateful for what the Lord has done for you? Remind yourself of how grateful you are for his salvation, for his mercy and his grace. And when you do that, it becomes so easy to give generously. Because it's not about what you have in your pocketbook. It's about your heart. God doesn't care about the quantity of your gift. He cares about the quality of your heart. So I challenge you, every time you give, before you give, say, thank you, God, for what you have done for me. I am grateful to give it back to you. See, when you give to the Lord, your heart can't stay the same. It's impossible. Never get over being saved. Never forget what Jesus has done for you and that everything you have and everything you are is because of him. When you give to the Lord, your heart can't stay the same. So if you'll let me, I want to do something a little bit different this morning. If you're able, I want you to stand. Let's stand together. We're going to respond to what the Lord is doing by worshiping him with one last song and allowing him to speak to us this morning. So as they prepare to queue up that song in just a moment, I want you to ask God during this time.
You shall remember that you were a slave.
I'll tell you in a minute when the song's ready. I want to say something real quick. Before we sing this song, during this time, I want you to ask God, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? We've all dealt with selfishness. We've struggled with the concept of giving. Each of us have done this. But this morning, the Lord wants to speak directly to you. Ask him, Lord, deal with my heart. Speak to me about what I need to change. Forgive me for how I've treated giving and generosity in the past. And let your grace and love flow generously out of my heart. Let's respond to the Lord this morning as we sing this song together.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me.
Lord, have your way with me. God, we give you our hearts this morning. May we never forget the sin and the slavery and the bondage that you so graciously and generously redeemed us out of. And help us to be generous just as you have been generous to us. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all that we say and do until we gather here together again to worship and glorify your name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. Let's fellowship. We got some donuts and coffee and great things to fellowship together. We'll see you next Sunday.